From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Behnke. I'm coming to you live from the podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we bask in a playoff glow after watching the Packers beat the Bears and get ready for a trip to a building where the Packers never lose. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Aaron Jones.
We got the bad. We got
Anders Carlson.
And we got the ugly. We got
NFL officiating. And you could probably extend that to the NFL rule book, which has been completely torn apart over the course of the last decade, making it impossible for any human to understand what the f*** is a catch. How you doing, Corey?
Good. What's a catch?
I would love to know. I would not ask the gentlemen who were adjudicating Sunday's contest against Chicago. But that's not how we start this program, Corey. We don't start talking about, you know, bad officiating or anything negative. We start with the hotness. Let's get to it. Time for the hotness. And let me tell you, there was a lot to choose from this week when it came to trying to figure out what the hotness would be. But I think this first touchdown from Dontavian Wicks has everything. Everything you could ever possibly need. Let's take a look. And you want to start by looking at Wicks there at the bottom of the formation and how he absolutely tells this defensive back, leave your jock right there. And is wide, screaming open for Jordan Love to hit. The touchdown, and shout out to him for running right away to the Lambeau leap. That's a young man who gets it. Now look at it from the end zone angle. Jordan Love just looking off to the left, coming back to the right, and boom, touchdown. You absolutely love to see it. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. That's the hotness. That is the hotness, Banky. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Got a lot of snow here in Green Bizzle.
I heard you guys have got some and you got more on the way.
More on the way. Supposedly the worst of the storms. So they had a pretty bad storm. Then we had some more snow. And apparently the worst is going to be Friday to Saturday. It's 7 to 10 inches. And we already got like 2 feet on the ground right now. It's crazy.
We had like
it's like the Green Bay of old.
Immediately went away. So I'm actually kind of jealous. I got to admit.
I think it's great.
Snow. I know.
If it's going to be, I don't particularly like it when it's like, you know, 14 degrees and there's no snow. It feels weird. You're like, what is going on? But, you know, snow, it's good.
Bunch
it's frozen
of snow.
Tundra. I need some tundra. Need some tundra action.
Love it.
Tundralicious.
Love it. Just wish there was a game at Lambeau this weekend, but there's not. There's a game down in Dallas, which we will get to momentarily. But let's start with some Packers news. Got to talk about some Packers news, starting with Jordan Love winning his NFC Offensive Player of the Week again. That's right, nice. 2 weeks in a row. I mean, Justin Fields has been in the league how long? He's won it one time. Jordan Love's done it twice in his first year. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I like it.
Just speaking some facts here. The Packers, we'd mentioned, we have a playoff glow about us because the Packers have become the youngest playoff team since the 1974 Buffalo Bills. That's a mark right there. I mean, now it took an expansion of the playoffs for the Packers to get in, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that they're in the playoffs. Keyshawn Nixon, your first team kick returner on the NFLPA All-Pro teams, the second year the NFLPA has formed its own All-Pro squad, votes from players making it up, an actual like every player voting, not just like this NFL Network stuff that you see in the offseason. And then one piece of what could be pretty significant news, we're not quite sure yet. Jaire Alexander missed practice today because he is dealing with an ankle injury. Yikes. Now, to hear Coach talk about it this afternoon, he stepped on a teammate's foot during a walk/jog through. And Matt was very quick to point out that, you know, Jair was doing, he was very locked in. He wasn't screwing around. He was completely like doing what he's supposed to do. And apparently this was just a freak occurrence. But, you know, Corey, it wouldn't be a Packers playoff game unless we had a star player get injured right before it in practice. That's just kind of how we roll.
True story. Yep. Yeah. I mean, hopefully there's still some time to kind of.
I know Matt Schneidman reported that he saw him. He didn't come in the locker room, but he did see him walking without a boot and any kind of noticeable limp. So nice. hopefully we're good to go in regards to Jair, who, like I said, was given off today, but hopefully we'll be back at practice tomorrow or, you know, at some point, maybe Saturday walkthrough. We shall see how that plays out. Let's talk about the offense, shall we? The Packers offense, talking about Aaron Jones, you know, we put him in the good this week. I mean, there were a lot of guys you could have chosen, but Aaron Jones absolutely shredded the Bears defense. This was a team that coming into the game was the number one rushing defense in the NFL. All Jones did was average 5 yards per carry on his way to 111 yards. That's a good day at the office for Jones. And he has shown yet again, this offense goes to another level when he is the feature. I mean, he had 22 carries in the game. No other running back had a single carry. The man is ready to carry the load. I love Aaron Jones. You guys know he carries the G like no Packers player in recent memory. I don't know if they're going to figure out a way to how to retain him next season, but man, I am so happy he's on the Packers right now. I can tell you that.
I agree. Agreed.
I do want to give a shout out to a couple assistant coaches talking about the offense. And you guys know, I always say you don't really know what they're being asked to do or, you know, what they're tasked with in the meeting rooms, what have you. But what you can see from both Jason Vrabel and John Dunn's charges, the wide receivers and the tight ends, you can see improvement throughout the season in very noticeable technical ways. Like as far as, I mean, the most obvious one, obviously, is Tucker Kraft's run blocking. I mean,
blocking.
The way he's gone about his business the last 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, that is absolutely night and day comparative to where he was at the start of the season. And, it, you know, that you got to assume that is somewhat due to coaching, you know. And in conjunction, Jason Vrabel's guys, I mean, all of the wide receivers, the fact that we've gone from, you know, the tape in September and October showed, you know, real issues with spacing, problems as far as trying to get concepts to work together and guys just being in the wrong spot, guys not understanding what the checks at the line were, etc., to what is absolutely a well-oiled machine on the perimeter and pretty interchangeable parts at the position where you can really take advantage by never having like a true tendency that shows up week after week after week, because you can completely change things around depending on the defense you're facing because these wide receivers seem to know every position. Like there's no, even Reed, who is, you know, often referred to as the slot guy, which obviously he does run a lot from the slot, but they use him outside just as much. You know, he's running a ton of routes on the perimeter. It's really, again, a credit to the coaching. So those guys have done the work, not taking that away from them, but Vrabel and Dunn deserve a little bit of credit here for the stark contrast where these guys were September and October to where they are now. It's very impressive.
It is kind of interesting, the snap counts for the wide receiver position over the season. It's kind of crazy.
Right?
Like, especially in that last game, like, it wouldn't surprise everybody to know that, you know, it's pretty much Melton, Wicks, and Reed. But, like, the fact that Dobbs only had 18% of the snap count, so 11 snaps for Dobbs, like, what's the deal with that? Like, what do we think is the, you know, Melton has just come so far ahead of Dobbs that Dobbs not your number one? Like, I think it's a little interesting.
I think it is. I think part of it is due to the injury. You know, Dobbs was out there early and got hurt kind of, I don't know, I can't remember, somewhere through the first half. But I think Melton's
he was like choking up blood apparently, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I also think Melton's earned opportunity. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's they the thing. I wonder how much. To, yeah, exactly.
I mean, considering his three-game stretch, how do you keep him off the field? I mean, I understand there's a chance Christian Watson might be back. I'm not holding my breath. But if Watson is back, I still don't see how you keep Melton off the field for extended amounts of time. You know, and I'm not saying that's a one-for-one trade, not even close. But, man, you talk about guys making the most of their opportunity. Bo Melton has certainly done that. You know?
Yeah.
So,
well, I also don't see Reed sitting in that third. I know we can say slot all you want, but where they took him right. and all of his upside, he's not sitting in that third spot for
featured.
Very long.
Yeah,
he's
no,
there right no. now for this season because he's a rookie. And,
right.
And honestly, if anybody's earned more snap counts this season, it's got to be Reed. It's got to be.
Jaden Reed, no doubt.
I mean, in my mind, he's basically the number one. Like, he's the number one
I totally
as far
agree.
As, like, performance, what he's done, catches,
he's the
touchdowns.
Guy, if it's late in the game, right, and I got to have it, I got to have a play, right, I'm drawing up something for Reed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go to him because, you know, who knows, they might roll coverage, they might bracket him, whatever. Yeah. But I absolutely, if I am a coach and I'm calling the plays and I got to have it, I'm 1,000% drawing something up or calling something where Reed is the initial progression in the initial part of the progression. Like, no doubt about it. I totally agree with you.
And the beginning of that season, the beginning of our season, that would have been Dobbs, you know?
Oh, most likely. Yeah. I mean, I think if Watson had been healthy, that'd probably be Watson,
but
you know, we all know he's had his issues all year long in that regard. Flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line is putting it together. Absolutely putting it together. I mean, it is funny, and I do I think Soder on our happy hour was one of the first ones to point this out. It's interesting how when Wooden to a lesser extent, but Brooks definitely, when Brooks gets more playing time, this line plays better. Like across the board, when he's in the mix more. Like there were a couple weeks where suddenly he just wasn't in the rotation, and I'm not quite sure what happened because it wasn't like he was significantly injured or anything, but his usage just kind of dropped. And in the last couple of weeks, when they've had a bit more success on defense, Brooks has been a major component. And I think you saw evidence of that again against the Bears. But all, across the board, I think these guys are working really well together. We've seen stunts set up guys. You saw Kenny Clark with a sack off basically a free rush because of a stunt. You saw Devontae Wyatt come in under control and get Fields on the ground. He's had real problems with that this year as far as not arriving at balance and kind of maybe, you know, overrunning things a little bit, probably a little over-eager to make a play. But, man, almost to a guy, you can point across the front and say they're finally, as a unit, playing their best ball, and this is when you want them to be doing that. So,
yeah,
that's promising at least.
If there's one thing that can overcome Joe Barry's play calling, it is the defensive line of the Green Bay Packers. Defensive line. I mean, the other thing I was going to say is if turnover differential was the defense's original, you know, 96 and 2010, I think, you know, turnover differential was the difference maker for our defense.
This year,
the difference maker is the defensive line. It just makes everything go. And we thought that would be the case coming into the season, that the defensive line would be, you know, really the linchpin key. And you're starting to see that late, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely needs to be. To your point, I mean, with the style of defense they play, you know, they're not sending big pressure. I mean, they've sent a little bit more these last couple weeks, but you need to win up front. You know, you have to win up front. And when they have, i.e. against the Lions or against the Chiefs or even this last week against the Bears and the Minnesota game, you've seen they have, you know, they've had very good performances. But whenever they're stymied up front by just the four-man rush, it's problematic, to say the least. And actually, you know what? Speaking of Joe Barry, I have done more than my share of bitching about Joe Barry, but I will give kudos where they are deserved because Barry had a very good plan coming into the Bears game, and the defense executed it at a very high level. And if I'm going to yell and scream and get pissed off you know, at Joe Barry throughout the year, I have to be able to acknowledge when he play, when he does a good job, right? Which I think their plan to contain Fields, the use of those guys up front, using Quay Walker as a spy, not every down, obviously, but when he felt like there's a good chance he's going to try and get out of the side of the pocket here, things of that nature, I thought Joe absolutely dialed it up. And for the most part, across the board, all of the guys responded very, very well, especially when it came to containing Fields. You saw those guys up front really do a good job of constricting the pocket, but not getting impatient, not trying to, you know, cover themselves in glory by, you know, breaking off the contain or breaking out of the four-man rush, as it were. I just thought it was really well done on all three levels, really. So I guess
so. I'm going to
give him props too.
So when we beat Dallas on Sunday, is the likelihood of Joe Barry getting fired starts going down, right? The probability meter.
I don't know. If it's a shootout and we win 40 to 30, like you suggested on Twitter this afternoon, I'm not ready to say.
Well, you know why I suggested that? Because one Rob Domofsky said that Dallas was going to put up 30, which inspired me to tweet that, by the way. Rob Domofsky inspires me. He inspires me. So sometimes I get inspired and I got a tweet.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Also, you know, the great thing about the playoffs for Joe Barry, the best thing about the playoffs, you know what it is?
What's that?
There's no shitty quarterbacks in the playoffs, so we're good.
That's a very good point.
There's not a shitty quarterback in the bunch. Yep, so we got no worries. We will not make a shitty quarterback look good again this season. It's going to be great.
There you go. No, man, positives. I don't know. The whole is Joe Barry saving his job thing is kind of lost on me. I mean, the only way I see him losing keeping his job is if they win the Super Bowl and in said game they keep the opponent to like under 10 points. If that happens, then maybe. But outside of that, no, he gone.
Really? That's all you're giving it? If we get to the NFC Championship and it's because of defensive turnovers, that's not going to save his job?
He gone.
One kind of interesting stat, you know, one thing, and I know you don't come from me for stats, people, so just bear with me here for a second. But one thing that's a little bit interesting is the lack of playing time by Ballantyne and how much that they put Ballantyne, Savage, and Alexander and Owens on the field. And the fact that Ballantyne had such a good game when Alexander was out, I am a little bit surprised that they didn't make more use of him in the game. And a lot of it is probably largely due to Alexander having such a good game. But it's just interesting to me, you know, you put Valentine and Valentine side by side the game before, and they largely did a great job. And to not really give him, he had a total of four snaps in the whole game, which is just a little surprising.
Yeah, but that's what happens when Jair comes back. Someone's got to sit. You know, Valentine's been playing ahead of Valentine.
But the fact that they didn't mix him up or find weapons for him, I mean, we know it's Joe Barry, so he's not going to adjust and he's not going to like do things that are special like that. But, you know, it's just a little interesting tidbit.
I feel you. Kernel for you. You're right. Because you're right. Your Valentine did play well in Minnesota, although he was facing Jaren Hall. So, I mean, I know it's Justin Jefferson, so that's a whole other animal, but it's Jaren Hall. I mean, come on. And Nick Mullins. I mean, All right.
I mean, you say that.
You could probably go out there and
if you look at our track record against terrible quarterbacks.
I know. I hear you. You are correct, sir. You are correct. No doubt about it. Speaking of corners, Jair is the wild card on Sunday. And I wrote this in the script before any of the news came out about his ankle. I suspect, you know, decent chance he plays, but we'll see. You never know how bad these things are, how fine they are, whatever. But I wrote this before all that because, look, I thought he played well on Sunday. I still didn't see lockdown, super intense, physical Jair the way we have in the past. I think much better showing than probably like the Carolina game, which, you know, was really poor by his standards. But if he is up and playing well and locked in and we see the intensity that we saw against Justin Jefferson last year in Lambeau, we see that type of Jair, the Packers got a shot at containing the Cowboys. Like, they got a shot. I'm not saying they will. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but they at least have a shot. Like, if they get Jair kind of moseying around 12 yards off the line of scrimmage on third and four. Oh, are we supposed to pass this off? Oh, no, wait, we're not. Oh, is that right? We get that Jair, it's going to get late real early on defense.
I feel like he gets up for big games. So I feel like he's that kind of player. So I think that's what we've seen from him in the past.
More often than not, but
he's a playoff guy.
He's a wild card. And then finally, I want to touch on special teams this week, Corey. We got an email from Greg Spencer, a longtime viewer, who I'm not going to like read the whole thing, but I did like this point. This past Sunday, there was a play with the Bears punting in the third and almost hugged up on the one after a questionable touchback. I know you both were wondering why the Packers grabbed it. And while specials have been pretty terrible overall this season, it was well coached, and I'll explain why. I played special teams in college and coached them at the high school level, and I always tried to have my punt returner be the smartest kid on the team. When the punting team commits an illegal touch, we called it the rule of first touch. No flag will be thrown, but the ref will throw his beanbag. The receiving team, the Packers in this case, have the option of taking the ball where the punting team touched as a worst-case scenario. So the Packer player, which is in this Ballantyne in this situation, did the correct thing in trying to advance the ball to help improve a terrible spot. Even if it was an extra yard, it is essentially a free play. Just a little known rule, the ball isn't down when the punting team touches it, but rather when they secure it, the ball stops or the whistle is blown after it stops moving. Keep up the great work on game day, and you learned something new today. Actually, first of all, Greg, really appreciate the email. Secondly, I knew that rule, and I had completely forgotten it during watch party because I was so upset about the possibility of them screwing up their field position. But I instantly recalled it when I was going over the tape because Micah Hyde did that not once but twice, where the ball had come off a defensive player and he dove on it and like scooped it up and started running with it. And I remember at the time, this is obviously years ago, I was like, what is he doing? And then Micah explained it in the locker room. And that was, at that time, that was a rule I had never heard of. But that's a well-remembered rule that I had completely forgotten about. But yes, it did freak me out in the moment. There's no doubt. I was nonplussed.
It still barely makes sense to me, I'm going to be honest with you. But thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
As long as it touches the opponent, and then as you know, you can pick it up and go. And you don't ever have to worry about fumbling or anything like that because it's a free play, essentially. Let's talk about this Packers-Cowboys game, shall we? Corey, did you know there's a playoff game this weekend?
Yeah, I heard.
The Cowboys are 7.5-point favorites. 7.5-point favorites on FanDuel. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I thought the Packers would get a bit more respect here, but, you know, I know the Cowboys are a different animal at home, and they've been scoring a ton of points playing at home. And Packers defense ain't exactly something to write home about, so I kind of understand it. But, man, the disrespect. Although I will say, I think that was the – it was maybe even been higher spread on Thanksgiving.
Really?
I'm not saying.
Wasn't it like eight or something? I feel like it was seven, but.
I thought it was eight, but it was around this, though. I know that.
Being a Packer fan comes with the disrespect. That's what we live with, right?
It's true. You're very right. You are correct, sir. The other kind of point of order here is Dallas, for all their, you know, they're scoring a ton of points, blah, 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 and they have an insane pass rush, no doubt about it. They are allowing 4.2 yards per carry. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an invitation for Aaron Jones. That is a welcome mat for Aaron Jones. And I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you're running inside zone. I don't care if you're doing like pitch plays. I don't care if you're classic zone. I don't care if it's counter, power, what have you. Get Aaron Jones the football, because it has never been more important. Never been more important this season for Green Bay to stay ahead of the sticks. They have got to stay second and threes, third and ones, instead of second and tens and third and sevens or plus, because this pass rush will absolutely eat you alive. And I know
I'm really excited to see Jordan in this game. I think we're going to learn a lot about him. He's been so cool and collected, you know, clearly early on. Right. And then last year when he played, you know, blitz pickups and pressure was like, as any young quarterback, right? It's one of the hardest things in game time play. And, you know, you've seen him kind of go back to his cool, calm, collected, no matter what they're doing, because they've got a game plan for it. So, but I'm interested to see in the playoffs with that elevated environment and in that place. I mean, that place is a very electric place in the playoffs. There's kind of not many places like it, because it is indoors. Yeah. It's got the big screen. The Super Bowl's been there. Like, it's a very iconic place in such a short time. And so you walk in there and, you know, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see him play as a playoff quarterback, kind of in a gimme game. You know, it's kind of like a, this is kind of like a training camp playoff game for us, in my opinion.
I like it. I like that idea.
I know everybody in the Patreon happy hour, they wanted to say, you know, everybody's talking about house money and like we banned the words house money from the chat. And I don't see it as that. Like, you know, don't put everything all in black, but it's an opportunity for us to, you know, as this team, to really see, like, do the playoffs actually change the character and the demeanor of this team? And in some ways, I actually feel like it probably won't. In some ways, I'm
totally there with you. Yeah. Agreed.
This is that team where they have only had each other all season. They have had no one on their side, including the fans in a lot of scenarios, right? And in the, especially in the middle of the season. And that has forced this team to gel together like not many that we have seen, especially since I've been alive. And I almost feel like that is our superpower right now. And it's going to be really exciting to see against Dallas. And, you know, we might implode. I don't think we're going to. I think it's going to be a pretty close game. But, you know, this is it's going to be interesting to see us play, especially this team with the character that they've shown us this season.
Right. I think it was funny listening to you talk about the environment, right? And it is electric. There's no doubt about it. You've been there for playoff games. I was thinking kind of along similar lines 2 weeks ago heading into Minnesota, right? Like, indoor, it's so loud. The environment is so tough. And this is a team in the Vikings that sends tons of different types of pressure. How is Jordan going to handle that? And, well, he handled it pretty damn well. But Sunday, it's that, everything that entailed, but the pressure and the stakes and just the how every single play means so much more in a playoff game. I am fascinated, like you're saying there, to see how he and the team responds. Because the atmosphere and just it's hard to describe, like, the pressure in the building, but it's very, very real. It's very real. And I'm with you. I'm fascinated to see. I suspect we're going to see more of the same from Jordan. We're going to see a cool, calm, and collected guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's going to play a perfect game, but I don't see him getting rattled. I just don't.
I don't see this team getting rattled. That's the thing. Like,
right.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just like, I just don't think I don't think they I don't know that they're going to meet the moment. That's a little different. But I don't think they're going to. I know for a fact they're not going to cower to the moment, and because this team
totally
doesn't
agree.
Really. They don't care about outside forces. It seems like to me they really don't.
You know, I was thinking this afternoon. What's the most upset or frustrated or just maybe even emotive you've seen in a negative way? Right, you've seen Jordan Love on the field this season, because I could only think of one instance, and that was the and then this wasn't even that big was the failed was it a fourth down or a third down against New Orleans when Patrick Taylor was split out wide and they were clearly on different pages and Jordan threw it and then he just kind of dropped his and was like, really? And that was but that was it. And then he just walked back to the to the sideline and talked to LaFleur and looked at the pictures and that was it. But that's the one moment out of the entire season that I can remember Jordan having like even a tiniest like crack in that like really cool calm veneer that he seems to exude. Like that was the one moment that like came to my mind.
That's what's exciting about, I think, the future when, you know, Wayne Larrabee says the future is now. I think that's the most exciting thing because what makes you, what as a quarterback and as a player, you know, when you've had the baggage of losing playoff games like we've had, right? This team doesn't have any of that baggage, which is kind of the best part about this whole thing, in my opinion. We don't have the baggage that fans have for the playoffs.
Oh, here we go again.
And
Yeah,
and so, you know, even Aaron Rodgers, he had that late, right, where the disappointment comes in realizing that those opportunities are passing you by. And right now, we're at the beginning of the opportunities, and now is the time we can capitalize the most on this feeling of, like, I don't know what it feels like to not have this opportunity. So, you know, and that's a thing, right, because it allows you to regenerate and reset and go to the next play, which we need Jordan and all these guys to do, right? It's that cornerback mentality that you need, but it's actually like every player on the team, especially quarterback, and Jordan has really proven that he can be that type of player to reset and renew for every play.
Every single play. I totally agree. I'm with you, man. I think it's going to be fascinating. No doubt about it. All right, let's get the blogosphere. Let's go. That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, did you know you can find out all there is to know about the history of the Green Bay Packers as a college course? Did you know this, Banky?
I did.
Look at this. Look at this. How cool is this?
Good
stuff. Explore the iconic history of the Packers. Learn the greatest story in sports at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. This is dope. This is so cool.
It just started, so this is the second time they've offered this curriculum. They offered it last fall. It's non-credited. Any adult can take it. You don't have to belong to the school. It's pretty cool. They just started it on Wednesday, I believe, was the first class. But you don't miss anything. What happens is that the curator for the Hall of Fame, for the Packers Hall of Fame, he's teaching the classes. And they're on Zoom and they're recorded, so you won't miss them. You can actually like watch one. So you can join the curriculum right now. I think they have some classes open. It's all virtual. It's really cool. And they're gonna, you know, I talked to Jessica, who runs the overall program at UWGB a couple days ago, and they have some plans to offer, you know, women of the Packers. They're gonna offer, right now the history goes to 1970, but they're gonna do 1970 to modern day, and they've got some really cool ideas. I personally would love, you know, an extension of, you know, the history of the Green Bay Packers as it pertains to, you know, the Black and African American experience for the Green Bay Packers, because I love that exhibit that was at the Neville Museum a couple
years
back.
The Neville
one,
right?
I'd love someone, you know, I love me some Emlyn Tennell and those kind of players who are a little bit, forgotten in the history of the Packers somewhat. But, you know, it's really cool. Highly encourage anybody who, you know, if you read Cliff Kristol's book, this is furtherance. You know, you're just going to learn more and more about the Packers, and it's really cool. And you know, it's something that we got to all get behind for sure.
There's a link in the description of this video on YouTube where you can find out more information. And Corey mentioned the curator, Brent Hensel. He does a phenomenal job as part of the crew that was interviewed during the Legacy series that the Packers put out a couple years ago for the 100 year anniversary. You talk about a guy who has done so much when it comes to not only preserving the history of the Packers and making sure it's correct, but just like doing things like this that kind of make it part of the community and like offer not just people in the Green Bay area, but like you're saying, Corey, you can log on
anyone.
On the internet.
Yeah.
From anywhere.
Yeah.
So yep. I remember when this launched last year, we did a quick tweet about it because let's face it, it's very cool. But I'm really kind of fascinated and excited to see how this starts to grow. Cause as you said, they're going to do a lot of different things. Very, very cool. Very, very cool initiative. Also in the blogosphere this week, I'm sure everybody with a Twitter account has seen this, but I know not everybody on Twitter or not everybody who follows the Green Bay Packers is on Twitter. So you got to see after the Bears game, Jaire Alexander bombing this WBAY live shot. Let's roll it.
And I'm sure they'll bring that energy right to Texas.
I'm just here to tell you, Pack is back.
You heard it from a fan right here. Pack is back.
You heard it from a fan right here. Has she responded on Twitter that
Emily
she didn't
Roberts,
know who Jaire?
That I have wow. seen has not made a public comment. I think they
she
wrote about
fired.
It on the website. No,
fire
she
her.
Shouldn't.
Just kidding.
She's
I'm just
on
kidding.
A live
just
shot. Some
I'm
dude,
just kidding.
Like, thumbs up
bro,
her.
If I could be
focused.
Live, I know who. I know if it's a Packer player or not. Come on. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come on. Jaire Alexander. How do you not
she's
know
she's there
that is?
In a news capacity. She's not there as a sports
whatever,
commentator.
Whatever.
It's fine. Speaking
take
of which.
The L.
Corey.
Take the L.
Corey. Let me ask you this. Yes. Have you ever had to, like, disassociate yourself or kind of pull the plug on a friendship, somebody you've known for a long time, and you're like, yeah, I really like them, but then they've said or done something that has just crossed a line where you've been like, I can't rock with this person anymore. Have you ever been there?
Yes
felt that because
I
thought I thought I was gonna be there this morning. I thought when I woke up this morning, I turned on Twitter, and from the rabble on Twitter about one
the rabble rousing.
Rob Domofsky.
Yeah.
People were so mad at Rob. And I thought, what is going on? What is happening? And I traced it back to the source, which was a radio interview that he did with a Dallas radio station, 105.3 The Fan, which apparently he's been on before, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, what did he say? Like, people were just cussing him out, calling him all sorts of derogatory names. And I thought, well, God, I got to listen to this. What? He's crossed some kind of line. Do I have to reevaluate my friendship with Rob Domofsky? So I played the thing, and I'm sitting there in my living room, and I'm like, all right, yeah, so talking about Mike McCarthy. Okay, fine. All right, talking about Jaire Alexander. All right, fine. And then they're like, oh, they would have probably preferred to play in Detroit. Okay, fine. And I'm like, you people, every single one of you, you owe me 20 minutes of my life back.
Yeah.
That was the most nothing burger interview I have ever heard, ever.
Yeah, the biggest problem with that interview was that I spent time listening to it.
100%. And that's no knock on Rob. I know he's doing
it's not a knock. Yeah,
yeah,
it's not. Although I think he was wrong. I think he was incorrect about one thing, because I'm pretty sure Dallas has only beat us one time in the last, like, so many, like, things. And he said it was two. But other than that,
I probably didn't even hear that because I was so bored. All right. So, but
yeah,
here's my point. Right?
What is everybody mad about? That's what I don't understand. He's a beat writer.
Well,
he's not a Packer fan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if one syllable of what Rob said in that interview upsets you to the point where you take to Twitter and attack the man pretty personally at times from some of you, it's time to turn
That's
off
weird.
The internet, go outside and play, because you're clearly a child. That's as simple as I can make it.
Yeah, everything he said in that interview was like everything. Pretty much dead on. I mean, I do. I took some, like, when I say umbrage, like, we're like a little bit, like, he was talking about Jordan and how, like, he wasn't as good in the beginning of the season. I'm like, did you see the Bears game? First Bears game? He's pretty damn good in that. And, like, you know, and but it was just kind of generalities of a radio interview, right? And so it was just, it's nothing I'm going to take him to task for. Well, like, there's nothing he said.
He's a reporter.
It's like, yeah, he's a reporter.
It's his job.
If you want to get mad, if you want to get mad at a reporter, get mad at Matt Schneidman's lazy ass because he always looks down at a laptop and he can't put any posters on his apartment or afford any or anything. And it looks like he's like in a prison cell when he's on the interviews and he doesn't care enough about the audience to make his shot look nice. If you want to get mad about something, get mad about that. You know what I'm saying?
I feel anyway. Like your work as a broadcast person is probably informing your outrage here, but yeah,
if you want to get mad at somebody not like doing their 111th, that's there you go. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, okay, Rob is a reporter. It's his job. He has to dispassionately observe, and then at times he offers his opinion on what he's observed. What did he say in that interview? Right, like, oh, the Dallas offense is really good. Oh my God, the controversy. Jair Alexander is a weird dude. Jair Alexander is a weird dude. I love
Did you
Jair
see the
because
Did you
weird.
See the WBAY
Rob,
clip?
Thank you. Like, I love Jair because he's weird, but I'm a fan. Yeah. Rob has to deal with him in a professional capacity every day in the locker room. Probably doesn't appreciate how weird he is. I love it, but I'm a fan. Like, yeah. It just blows my mind the shit that people get upset about. It blows me.
I love it because Wisconsin needs more weird people like Jair. That's why I love it.
You know,
there's not enough.
Amen.
We got a lot of hobbits. We don't have a lot of elves, and Jair's an elf. So,
no, that's a shirt. Oh my God, that's amazing. All right, let's get to some YouTube comments.
Wisconsin's
right.
got
You're
a lot of hobbits, bro.
Right. What's so great is that there are plenty of people in the viewing and listening audience who will completely understand that reference, and there'll probably a bunch that don't. But to the ones that know it, that is absolutely perfect.
Hey, I'm not hating on Matt Schneidman. I just, bro, fix your camera. Like, put your camera on an Apple box. Get some books. Do you have some books? Get your lens. See how my lens is at the same portion as my eye? So when I look into the lens and I look deeply into your soul, you, the viewer watching this, you know, I'm there. I'm not doing this and looking down on you and like, oh, Leo, look up my nose. And, you know, it's, come on, bro. Broadcast 101. Let's go. That's all. Little tip.
I love it.
Little tip. Take it or leave it.
Let's go to YouTube. Let's see what folks have to say, shall we?
Oh, that's my cue. Mimsy, Packers win. We take the America's Team trademark. I agree.
I thought we already had it.
That life. David Segerdahl, AR condescendingly explained that Kimmel wasn't on the literal list, then referencing RJKs, I think, who is literally on the list as his source on COVID, had me spit out my coffee. Sandman, Apollo, hook that fool.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I appreciate the super chat. Here's what I'm going to say. Aaron Rodgers is no longer on Pat McAfee's show as far as the rest of this NFL season. So we're just going to leave
no,
it at
that.
No, he
was this afternoon. He's hot. He was back this afternoon.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
He came back to talk football because Belichick, Saban, and Carroll were all out of jobs, and they were like, you want to come on?
And
he came on.
Yesterday said that he wasn't going to be on anymore.
Because he was, but now he's back. Who knows? Again, I don't care. I don't know what we're talking about. I don't care. He is not our problem anymore. We don't have to talk about him. So I appreciate the super chat, but I just don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Matthew Clark, thanks for Super Chat. Evening, Nags and Corey, so excited for Sunday. Go Pack, go. Thanks, Matthew, for the
Right back at
Euro.
You, Matthew.
I think that's a Euro. Oh, that's a pound, maybe. I still can't remember. Ian, what's up, brothers? Thanks for all Cheesehead TV does. Corey was right. Packers on the way to championship. Nags, you know I'm asking to keep the streak going. Are the Packers beating the Cowboys on Sunday? Go Pack, go.
Of course
thanks,
the
Ian.
Packers are beating the Cowboys on Sunday. Come on now. Let's go.
Mimsy, this is a good question. Who calls the first trick play, Mike or Matt? I'm going with Matt.
I want to say Mike, but I'm going with Matt too.
It's going to be Matt.
I'm with you.
Mad. There's no way around it. I mean, Mike's going to have one. There's a really good likelihood someone is going to try to fake an onside kick. I'm going to put that out there.
A surprise onside, you mean? Like,
yeah, surprise. Sorry, not fake. New England? Surprise. Yeah, right. Surprise. I feel like the playoffs nowadays, they need a surprise onside kick at some point. Just to do it. The problem, I don't think it's going to be us. I think it's going to be the Cowboys because it's enough to ask Carlson
20 to nothing.
It's enough to ask Carlson to kick extra points and make them. So I don't think you want to add anything to his menu. You know, like he's not a Greek restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like you really don't want a big menu from this kid, right? You want to have the high end Michelin star menu, right? Where it's like, okay, I need you to have extra points and field goals.
We're excellent at. Yep.
That's it, buddy.
I got it.
I'm surprised they didn't get a specialist to do kickoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be real. Like, we need this kid to focus.
I think the kid can do it if you just let him. Just let him kick it.
Jar Winter, thanks for Super Chat. We had halves without first downs. Look at us now. Go back, go.
For real, right? When you look back at October and you're like, this is the team now? What? It's amazing.
Ryan Willie, thanks for Super Chat. Would love to see the Pack continue to own Jerry World, then watch Jerry fire McCarthy and hire Belichick, only to continue the Cowboys Super Bowl drought. McCarthy goes to Pittsburgh to coach his hometown team. What do you think about that, Nagler?
A lot going on there. I mean, a lot of it has to fall into place, but I love it. I'd be totally down with that. This would require Tomlin to retire, which I know he has hinted at is a possibility, but yeah, I'm all for it. Let's do it.
You know, I seriously think that, well, I guess I know I'm already wrong, but I still think there's a chance that Belichick could. I just feel like there's still a chance Belichick could be our defensive coordinator.
Corey, you got to stop.
He's just
going
to get
man.
So much money to go to Atlanta that it's just going to be like Atlanta's just going to pay him all the money. So
probably.
I just feel like it's a great. He's already got enough money. He's already got enough stuff. What does he have to prove? And like going to a team like the Packers, it's like a last stop to glory. You know, it's very much like Emlyn Tennell, right? It's like Lombardi. It's like going to that. Well, Lombardi, it was more like Belichick going from the Patriots to, or from the Jets to the Patriots. So, but Tennell going from having success and then going to your last team you're going to play out with. And the Packers would be a great last team for Bill. I just feel like be nice.
It would That's be, okay. And the only way he would even entertain it is if, because of his appreciation of the history of the game and the roots
in
Green Bay and blah, blah, and et cetera, et cetera. But that's never going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I'm just dreaming here. Ian, thanks for Super Chat. Not hearing this mentioned. You know, dreams are important, okay?
I know.
Dreams.
I feel you. Very much
and
so.
Manifesting things and brainstorming and allowing yourself to freewheel and free deal is very important. And people, all we do in this country and all we do in this world is we shut down people's dreams. So don't shut down my dreams, Nagler.
I'll do my
best. Ian, thanks for this. Yeah, you'll try. Not hearing this mentioned enough, the wide receivers as a whole have greatly improved their hands catching, limiting drops. And look how amazing Ten's confidence has been in his throws to them in crucial moments with this improvement. And he's got some emojis, got some, what is that guy that we made really good and then he...
Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito, yeah. Got some Tommy DeVito emojis going on. Thanks, Ian, for the Super Chat. I think we talked about that in the offense in the beginning. So,
The improvement, definitely. I mean,
coaching.
Absolutely, the coaching has reared itself in a positive way. No doubt about it. And that is one of those ways, no doubt.
Sandy Gunthorpe, thanks for the Super Chat. I'm still waiting for someone to pinch me. We're in the playoffs and the Bears still suck. True, we beat the Bears twice. Like we and what's
season
crazy is
sweep of the Bears and we're in the playoffs.
Season sweep. And what's incredible is that first game against the Bears is arguably probably one of the best games besides the Vikings game and the Lions game is one of the best games of the season. So it's kind of crazy how, you know, the
it's
NFC
the
North
yep.
games were some of our best games. Pretty incredible showing by the offense in both places. Quinn, thanks for Super Chat. Got drunk and bought a Bo Melton jersey last night. Good for you, buddy.
Well done, Quinn. Carry the G, buddy.
Hey, he is he's the number one wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers right now. He's in the number one
I mean,
slot.
Essentially.
Most snaps. Yeah. I mean, you know,
no doubt.
What are you going to do?
Most production. Get it.
What are you going to do. What happened? Oh, I chose the wrong thing. Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. Tucker and Luke have a big day on Sunday. Book it. I'm with that.
Book it, says Mike. I'm down with it. I'm with booking that. It. Booking.
Mike Witt.
Tucker,
haven't seen Mike Witt in a while. So
and Luke. Oh, he's on.
Dustin
he's
Logan.
On daily.
I am excited for the two tight ends set this week. Weapons. So a little bit the same. Dustin bringing in the
come
tight
on
end
tight
heat.
Ends.
Mike
hopefully,
Witt
yeah.
went back.
Musgrave is able to get out a lot more. It'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, what did he? I don't think he had many. I took my snap count thing down.
He had one he catch there towards the end of the game.
I knew he had the catch, no, but played, how many? He didn't play that much, right?
Not a lot, no. But hopefully that increases this week. That's the hope.
Mike Witt went back and watched some old watch party today. Corey's hatred for J.K. Scott always cracks me up, LOL, and Corey drinking out of the Packer mug, too. Glad you could find some.
Wow, that's, I mean, that's at least, some old school stuff right there.
At least somebody's watching those because, you know, yeah. made some,
they're out
made
there.
Some ad
well.
Money on those. J.K. Scott, the weapon? You talking about the weapon? The weaponless?
The weapon. The weaponless
oh,
weapon.
Oh, man. He sucked. He's terrible. Uncultured Barbarian, in, thanks to Super.
The Chargers now. Sorry. He's with the Chargers.
He's still playing?
I don't remember where he was. Yeah. We saw him at Lambeau earlier this year with the Chargers.
The going. Fuck is it's wrong fine. With this world? Unculture Barbarian, this week on Banky on the Beat, he goes after the big talking heads in the sports world who were wrong about love, and he's got receipts. Yeah, there's been a ton of people that have gone over all the people with the receipts.
Oh, yeah. It's been a beautiful week.
Lots of receipts. Lots of receipts. I mean, here's what's funny to me. What's funny to me about the whole Jordan Love thing is that it was all foreseeable. Like, you always take a quarterback when you don't need one. So the fact that everybody is bitching about it and making hay out of all this fucking terrible nonsense, it's just hilarious to me. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. And then to say that a kid who the team has put forth for 2 years behind Aaron Rodgers is not at least going to get a chance to be great and have a potential, and for all these fools like Adam Schein and all these fucking idiots coming out way early trying to put their idiot flag out there like on the moon
planting
before anybody
flag.
Else.
Yep.
And it's just yep. like, wow. I mean, I guess like you could be the first to be right, but you also, there's a 99% chance that you're going to look like a stooge, and that's exactly what happened. But, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not the smartest people in sports media, so take what it will. I mean, look, the WBA wide girl didn't even fucking know who Jair Alexander was. Like, Adam Schein probably couldn't even name four people on the Packers. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be real. And when training camps.
Very much agree.
So let's
there.
Be real.
Very much
Mike Witt, there. Thanks for the super chat. Corey, rumor has it Deion hired Jim Leonard as DC. No, he didn't. Get out of here with that. Oh, man.
He might just trying to get you going now.
No. No, but there are a lot. 8 coaches in the NFL are gone. 25% of the head coaches in the NFL do not
yes,
have a
sir.
Job. That's
not
crazy.
For long.
There's going to be
Matt
some.
LaFleur is now some, one of the longest tenured head coaches in one spot. Like he's in the top five. Or tied.
There's
tied at fifth.
There are going to be some good candidates out there for DC for us. There really are. I hope we do a good interview process and we hire right. Amy Gooding, thanks to Super Chat. Rob said if we lost, Packers fans would root for McCarthy to go on and win. Nope. Never rooting for the Cowboys. Only thing I found offensive. I agree with that.
I knew Corey would agree with that. I totally agree with Rob. I absolutely will be pulling for Mike. We've talked about this last
right.
year when Mike was coming.
Well,
to Lambeau,
the disagreement is understanding what Packers fans like. I understand how you feel. I understand how I feel. Now, what I would say is anybody older than 45, they're not rooting for the Cowboys. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now. You're an anomaly. You met Mike McCarthy. You have respect for him as a person. But if he wasn't coaching the team, would you ever root for the Cowboys?
No, of course not.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course not.
And that is the point of most Packers fans, where they're just like, yeah, the brand overcomes the man. And especially to me, the brand is Jerry. It's not Mike. Mike is barely the brand.
Oh,
the brand is Jerry.
Of course.
Right? So there's, natural. I'm not rooting for that. Although as a businessman, I have a lot of respect for Jerry, but yeah, no, I fucking, as a Packers fan, I do not want to see him win. So I'm with you, Amy. I'm with you all the way. The dude, thanks for super chatting. Being a fat Packer fan in Minnesota couldn't be better. MLOL, go Pack, go 24-20 Sunday.
Thanks, the dude.
Ooh, tight game. I like that.
Thanks, the dude. Thanks.
On Culture Barbarian, on a special Brandy and the Barbarian, we discuss the nightmare scenario of Joe Barry being extended. There will be swear words. It's not for kids. I'm telling you, people, it's happening. I'm telling you right now. I am really
Planting your flag out early. Trying to get out ahead of everyone. Didn't we just talk about this?
I'm not. I literally said this like five shows ago, and you were like, there's no way.
I'm just getting you going.
I really think they're going to extend him because the thing is, the defense came up at the end, and it's like the only knock is that Matt LaFleur, the reason I think he's not getting coach of the year is because of how bad we were. You said this against, you know, terrible quarterbacks,
really bad
that's
quarterbacks.
Just inexcusable, right? Like, you know, you can't. But I just still don't think that's the deal breaker bad taste in Matt's mouth, especially if we win a playoff game. If we win a playoff game and defense largely does it, why would you try to wreck that?
Dude, this is like less than 1% chance of happening, of Joe Barry and company going into Dallas and being the first team all year to put the clamps on that offense. I mean, wake up. That is not
happening. What if we win and we hold them to 10?
You're not holding them to 10. The way the Packers are going to win this game,
up a 40 burger.
They control the ball enough. Said it. No, not burger. Even that. Maybe they control the ball well enough on offense where they limit the Cowboys' opportunities. And maybe they get a ball to bounce their way, have tip drill, interception, etc. The Packers can eke out a win. But man, they're not running away from the Cowboys.
I understand.
They're not
cutting
them down on offense.
Okay.
That's not happening.
Imagine a world for 1 second. Imagine an imaginary menagerie manager imagining managing imaginary menageries. Okay, so imagine a world where the Packers go into Jerry's world and they put up a 40 burger and they limit them to 15 points. And then we lose the next playoff game. Does Joe Barry keep his job? I think the answer is yes.
No.
Okay.
We'll see.
I don't believe you, but okay.
We'll have Tyler clip it, and we'll see who's right.
Okay. I mean, yeah, we will, I guess. Leonardo Rodriguez. Go, Pack, go. Matt LaFleur called those beautiful run plays. Hi from CR. Costa Rica?
Yep.
Is CR Leonardo. Costa Rica? Yeah. Costa Rica. I like it. Rai. Thanks for Super Chat. Was 2021 divisional versus San Fran Barry's best game as DC?
Without question. Without a doubt. And that was with, you know, remember they just got Za'Darius Smith back and he was on a count, but Jair back for the first time after an extended time and he played mostly slot in that game. They were on fire up front against the San Francisco offensive line, which had played well all season long. Now I know he gets docked because it's Garoppolo, but I don't care who's at quarterback. He absolutely shut him down. And also, as we've been talking about, usually bad quarterbacks walk all over Joe Barry. That afternoon into the evening was the peak of Joe Barry in Green Bay, no doubt.
You know what I get mad about myself for not realizing is the fact that I totally overlooked that we kicked the Lions' ass and Joe Barry was the defensive coordinator in that game. And then we chose him to be our DC, and I wasn't more mad about it. So I just want to apologize to people like Brandy for not being more mad about that. I gave the guy too much. I gave the guy too much of the benefit of the doubt. And when you really look at his track record, it's fucking horrible.
Yep,
like it really
is. It's horrible. It is horrible.
It's really bad.
And there's a reason. It's horrible.
It's really
because he's not very good at his job.
Porkmaster, horror on Banky's face when he learned J.K. Scott is on the Chargers and not at home playing Legos was amazing. Thanks. Sometimes some things happen in real time. I'm not ashamed.
No, not ashamed.
I didn't even realize he was playing in that game, and you guys know we do the watch party, so wow. That just tells you a lot about me. Leonardo Rodriguez, Corey, don't speak Barry back into existence. I'm just saying, I just want everybody to get – There's a little bit of a downside to winning in the playoffs and getting this far if you want Joe Barry fired, okay?
Oh, God.
And I'm telling you right now, the first part of the season, there was no way he was getting fired. Then the middle part of the season, he really fucking sucked. And then the last two or three games, he came back and he's roaring. Defensive line is cooking. Valentine without Jair 2 weeks ago. Like, a lot of things in his favor and a lot of players talking good about him. And guess what? All that good talk and positivity and winning creates sustainability for Joe Barry's job. That's all I'm saying. JP, thanks for Super Chat. Pack are competing again for the brightest future in Wisco sports. Bucks probably still won because they're favored to win now. Brewers, unfortunately, are sad. Okay, JP, let me just tell you. Just look right. Okay.
Oh, my. Here
there
we
is
go.
Only there is only one team that matters in the state of Wisconsin. Everything else is secondary, okay? So you're here on this program, so you understand what the truth is. I'm here as, you know, your religious and spiritual advisor to tell you there's only one team that matters in the state of Wisconsin. That is the Green Bay Packers, and everybody else, it's fun. It's just a pastime you do when you're at the bar, you're drinking, oh, the Bucks are in the playoffs, great. Oh, the Brewers, you know, still can't get any offense and can't, you know, have bases loaded and can't fucking score and then get out of the playoffs. Yeah. You know,
what's
like,
so good about that is I know that you do not watch the Brewers with any regularity at all, yet you have completely.
But I know how their season
the
ended.
Of their offense. The essence of their offense distilled into one moment.
That right just there. Broke my heart. I actually start watching the Brewers and they have bases loaded and they can't even get one fucking score. And you're just like, guys, really? Yeah. How? You know what? Maybe spend a little less time in the champagne and doing all the champagne shit after you win the first game. And maybe a little bit more time on scoring some fucking offense. Jesus, Lord at thy birth.
Amazing. Amazing.
That's all we got.
Oh, that's all. That's it. Amazing. Oh, I love it. We do have to give a shout out to our Patreon members. Everyone who showed up last night for happy hour, cannot thank you guys enough. You guys know we always talk about it. You are the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV, as well as the folks in the Carry the G Club here on YouTube. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for engaging here on YouTube, on coming on the happy hour. It is so great each and every week. We really appreciate it. And regardless of what happens on Sunday, we will be going with those happy hours all throughout the off season. So don't think just because the season ends, that's the end of happy hour. That's the end of the community, because we eat, live, sleep, breathe everything about the Green Bay Packers 365. So none of that's going anywhere. Got anything?
We got a couple more super chats quick. Matthew Strickland, I know it's looking ahead, but I think the players we have on defense would fit a Wink Martindale style defense. Thoughts? I feel like Wink Martindale is the front runner right now in Packers fans' minds.
I mean, he's got to get out of his contract first. I mean, if it ends up being a scenario where the Giants refuse to do anything with his contract and they decide they're willing to trade him, they're not trading him to the Packers. I think they're going to definitely send him to an AFC team. So we'll see how that transpires. I think he'd be a great fit, and I think he's a good coach, but I'm not getting worked up about the possibility until that gets resolved.
Greg Somerville, all this Joe Barry talk is making me want to drink. Guess I'll have to head to Woodman's and buy all the Carry the G again. Love you guys. Go Pack Go. Greg, that sounds like a good plan. Yeah, go out, buy your Carry the G, people. It's running out in a lot of places. The season is ending.
The spigot is off, people. That's all the Carry the G
closed
for you.
2023-24 Carry the G is slowly and surely going away. So get it while you can, people. Oh, Leonardo Rodriguez, Corey, only one team matters in the world. Go Pack Go. Leonardo, you are right. I like the way you think. That's right. It's not just Wisconsin. That's right. I like it. I like it. Great way to end the show. I like it.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.